What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Newlyweds Podcast. This is your co-host, Brian Sorrell, here with my beautiful wife,
Elizabeth Sorrell.
And we are the Newlyweds. Hope you guys are having an awesome long weekend.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day. Appreciate those people that stood up, what was it, like 50 years ago?
I don't know.
Anyways, those people that stood up for our workers' rights and stopped the 72-hour work weeks and all this other stuff and got us down to 40 hours.
Yep.
5 days a week.
Yep. I was giving Brian the history of Labor Day this morning because I myself just found out why it is a holiday.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I butchered something, so can we go over the facts one more time?
Yes. So I saw this on TikTok. But basically they said
the best,
like,
news source, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Where else would you get any of your information? But anyways, they were giving the history of Labor Day and they said, like, back during the Industrial Revolution, people used to work 7 days a week, 12-hour days. No breaks, no weekends, no holidays, no PTO, none of that. And they were working for like $1 an hour. Mm. And they all just decided one day, they said, we do not want to accept this treatment anymore. We want fair wages. We want less hours. We want breaks. We want benefits, all of that stuff.
Preach.
So they all decided, okay, on this day, it was September 5th, whatever the year was. They said, we're all going to meet up this day instead of going to work. And we're going to protest until we get what we want. And that's why we now have 40-hour work weeks, PTO, benefits, weekends, all of that stuff. Because of those people.
Yep. And how long ago was that?
I don't know. I think they said it was the Industrial Revolution.
I think it's about time that we...
Yeah, let's do it again,
do
boys.
Do it again and get back for the modern era.
Yeah, I want 32-hour work weeks.
Well, I don't know how much better you could have it.
I could have it better. 32-hour work weeks would be ideal.
That's just not enough, though, I don't think.
I think it is. If you can't do your stuff in less than 30 hours, you're just inefficient.
That's not true. Some people just have more stuff to do.
No, sorry. You're inefficient.
Hmm. Well, there you have it.
Anyways, happy Labor Day to all of those who get to celebrate. I know our healthcare workers are still working today, so we appreciate you and all the other people who have to work today.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry. I'll take the extra day while you guys get after it.
Yeah.
But
they get
you.
Holiday pay, though.
What is it, time and a half?
Yeah. So, anyways, happy Labor Day. We're having a wonderful long weekend.
Yeah, me and Elizabeth were actually already got our walk done this morning. We went and got Starbucks. Mm-hmm. What else did we do?
It's 10 a.m. We've already reached our activity goals for the day. Yeah. We walked 3 miles. Ruby got a walk in. We got free breakfast. Yep. We got Starbucks. Yep. We're just
living it up.
We're Ruby's having a wonderful out. Long Monday.
Yeah, it's been great.
It couldn't be better.
It's been great.
And we're recording the episode, and then we'll get to relax for the rest of our holiday.
Yep.
We have some exciting family news.
We do. We are family grew again. And again, not by me and Elizabeth doing. My brother and sister, Lauren, sister-in-law had a baby girl.
Sophia Lauren Marie.
Yeah, Sorrell. Welcome to the Sorrell family, Sophia. We're super glad to have you and can't wait for all the amazing things that are down the pipeline for you.
Yeah, so congrats to the new parents. They are now mom and dad to two.
Yep.
Congratulations. You'll probably have four more before we even have one.
It's just
exciting for them.
It's exciting for them, of course. I'm just trying to think, like, I don't know how they do it.
I know. It's got to be hard.
I'm sure they've barely slept since they gave birth a few days
ago. Yeah, yeah. Crazy times.
But yeah, we're praying for you guys. But again, welcome to the family, Sophia. So excited to have you.
We're excited. Another niece and nephew to the...
A beautiful girl.
To the family. But yeah, congratulations.
Man, all of my brothers are having girls.
Good. I want to be a girl mom. I only want girls.
We're three... Three to one?
Yeah, there's one boy on Brian's side and three girls.
And I have all brothers. Yeah. No sisters in my siblings.
And on my side, Victoria, my sister, has two. One boy, one girl.
Oh, man, oh, man.
I want to be a girl mom, though. I think if I'm going to be a mom, like, that's... I would be happy if I was a girl mom. Four girls. Mm. Anyways, also say congrats. I'm sure there'll be more, so...
I really want them to come up for, like...
To visit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it'll have to be when they get older.
Yeah.
But, like, I want, like, the girls and DJ to come up for, like...
Yeah, play in the snow.
Play in the snow. Go skiing or something.
Once we win the lottery and buy all of our vacation homes, like, then that can happen.
Yeah, we have to go buy this today.
We can take the kids for, like, holiday break and summer break. They can come visit us and stay with us.
But, yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Also, shout out to Victoria. It was her birthday yesterday, so happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Because I know you're going to listen to this.
Let's go ahead and get into the episode.
Go ahead.
So today, I'll be leading the conversation.
Thank God.
And we are going to be we are going to be discussing the 12 common problems that are seen in most marriages.
Ooh.
Do you have any guesses to like a couple things that you think might be on here? Before we start going through them?
Finances.
Yeah, finances is always a big one.
Communication.
Oh, yeah. Shit, you might have one and two.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so number one, lack of communication.
Ooh.
Poor communication is a common marital issue. A lot of couples push their problems aside rather than trying to talk about them and fix them. They may get set in their ways and in the roles in the relationship, allowing for resentments to grow. When new challenges arise later in life, they lack the communication skills to properly negotiate new rules and the relationship suffers.
I get that.
Do you have any examples in our own relationship that has our communication, you feeling, gotten better as we've been married? Or do you think it's always just improved, I guess, as long as we've been together?
Well, I think it's gotten better, but only because we have this podcast. So we're kind of like forced to talk about stuff. But like, do I think if we didn't have this podcast?
Before we had the podcast, I mean.
We were only married for 2 months before then.
Right. But like, even for our 6 years of dating prior to being married, was our communication great?
It's gotten better over the years, I would say.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely gotten better. I think if anything, I don't think our relationship or our communication was always any bad.
Yeah.
But I probably wasn't the best communicator, like, when I was working in the field. No. Like, I feel like I was just really busy and I didn't always have time to, like, you know, give you the communication that you probably would have liked, maybe. Yeah. But you're also not somebody who's, like, constantly trying to be, like, up somebody's ass.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's just, I guess, my own. If I were to look back at it, I would be like, man, maybe I didn't talk to you as much as I would have liked to. Because I was literally working, you know, 12, 14 hours a day and then falling asleep.
Yeah. No, I get that. But yeah, I think the podcast has definitely helped us because we literally spend probably an hour to 2 hours a week recording this and just like...
Yeah.
I mean, not saying that's our only form of communication. Like, we obviously are talking all day, every other day. But, like...
No, I hear you.
Just a more focused conversation, you know?
And not even... Obviously, when we're doing this, like, there's stuff that we're talking... Random conversation will just spark out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But even when we're doing these episodes that we obviously cut, or while we're listening to the recordings, doing our edits for the release... Yeah. We'll have conversations on what we're talking about and stuff like that as far as communication. So I think it's gotten better for sure.
Yeah. But just, you got to talk.
Yep.
If you're mad about something, you got to talk to them like right away. Like, don't wait 5 years down the line to say, oh, this has been a problem forever, but you never said anything. Because like, your spouse is not a mind reader.
100%.
So like,
and I feel that's, especially on you ladies' side. Like, it sounds like a cliche. I guess that's the word for it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not that we don't, as men, like, we're not trying to do and be everything. We're just.
They're not a mind reader.
We're not a mind reader. Like, if there's something clearly that you want or that you're lacking or needing, just tell us. Because, like, we want to obviously make sure that you guys are happy. You guys are, for the most part, if not for every single guy, you guys are our number one priority. And we just want to make sure that you guys are happy and getting, you know, the attention and care to detail and everything that you guys deserve.
Yep.
But if this is something that you think that you are lacking, here's a tip that they provide. If this rings true in your relationship and you want to learn how to communicate in a relationship more effectively, start by being a good listener and encouraging your spouse to express themselves. Communication is a skill that benefits any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one. Two, the lack of intimacy.
Yeah.
Sex matters. Still, many couples lose interest in intimacy because of the emotional issues, medical problems, financial, other life stressors, or because things seem to be in a rut. If you want to maintain a loving marriage, you must be willing to make physical intimacy a priority.
Yeah.
Learning to talk about intimacy with your spouse is step one. Communicate openly about your desires, worries, and anything else relating to sex that may be damaging your intimate connection. Sharing your sexual needs with your spouse might feel awkward or selfish, but a physical relationship is a critical part in your marriage. By sharing your feelings, you're only being honest and trying to strengthen your relationship with your partner. So what do you think? Intimacy, hot topic for a successful marriage or what?
Yeah.
Hell yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, enough said. Intimacy. You gotta have it in your marriage.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep it spicy. Keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Enough said. Good? Dive into more detail if you want to. We can talk.
It all starts at the beginning of the day when you wake up. If you are nice to your wife and speak to her all day and like make her feel loved and stuff, you won't have these problems.
Is that simple?
Yes. That's all. It's the emotional foreplay of it.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm telling you, guys.
So what about the saucy text?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. That too. But I'm just saying, like, it's all about... You got to do the emotional foreplay first, okay? That's all I can say. Just, like, take care of your wife's emotions and make her happy. And I promise, like, you won't have these problems. That's all. That's my advice for you.
Okay.
Good luck.
Good luck, dogs. Number three, different life stages.
Okay. Meaning?
Being in different stages of life is taxing on a relationship, whether it's due to age difference, time spent away from one another, or growing apart in terms of interest and life goals. When you don't feel connected to your partner, you can't feel the impact on your relationship. It's important to make your relationship a priority. Regular date nights, doing things the other person loves, and exploring new hobbies together are all great ways to reconnect and overcome the distance caused by different stages of life.
I'm not sure where that one was going. Like, it sounded like they were trying to say, like, if you have an age gap, which, like, I understand. But then the rest of it, like, didn't really make sense.
It didn't really hit. I'm not really sure where they were going with this either.
Yeah, like, unless you're an age gap couple. But, like, it would have to be probably a significant age gap for you to have this problem.
So what do you think of that?
Age gaps?
Like, what gap is too much gap?
30 Between years.
30 years?
Yeah.
So you're cool if a 60-year-old is dating a 30-year-old?
That's 30 years. No. I'm saying that's too much.
So a 60-year-old is dating a 31-year-old.
No, 60 and 40 is good, I think.
That's 20 years. I think 20... That's 10 years that you just cut off.
20 years is like the max. No, you said what's too much, and I said 30 years. I think 20 years is probably like the max. But even so, that's pretty. That's a lot.
I mean, yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, if I had a daughter and she's 20 and a 40-year-old showed up at my door. You got me up if you think that that is about to slide. That's 20 years. Okay. Or if that's too young, let's just say 25, 45.
Yeah.
No.
That's pretty crazy, yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, is that something that... Because this is honestly a female that's doing this, I would say. It's not usually like a male.
That's not true. That's majority. Not true.
Majority? Majority.
I don't think so.
You think it's 50-50? You think there's 45-year-old women that are dating 20-year-old men?
Yes.
I do not think it's the same level of...
Okay, here's my thing. I think like the reverse, the woman and the... The older woman and the younger man is like, she's not dating him like that. Like, they're seeing each other, but like, she's not going to marry this guy. She's not going to take him home, all that stuff. Whereas the 40-year-old man We'll probably try to go marry the 20-year-old woman.
But why does the 20-year-old woman want to marry the 40-year-old man?
Stability. Because, like, an older guy will, like, have all this shit figured out. He knows what he wants. He, like...
You don't think it's money-driven? For the most part.
No, that's stability. Money is stability.
Yeah, but come on. Are we really going to say that it's true love?
Gloria and what's his name on
Modern Family, for God's sake.
What's his name?
Jay?
Yes, Gloria.
Honey,
and
that's
Jay.
A show. That's a TV show. And Gloria? Who's to say Gloria didn't use her to get a green card or whatever?
Okay, my point
That's
is,
another topic we could talk about.
My point
What
is,
about marrying outside the country?
Okay, maybe next week. But my point is stability. Like, a younger woman will date an older man for the stability.
I know, but I feel like you're using this stability word.
Like, stability means...
As just another way to say, like, you're marrying rich where you don't have to worry about anything.
No, it's not just that. Yes, money is a huge factor because, yes, he is probably set up. He does have a house. He does know what he wants. Like, all that stuff. So, like, yes, money does factor into it. But it's more about just, like, this is a stable man. Like, I'm not going to have to worry about if he's going out to the club every night because we're young or whatever. Or any of this other stuff. Because, like, he's just an old man. He's too tired to do any of that shit.
I mean, I just don't buy it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I just don't think stability is the word. I really
I
just
mean,
think
do,
it's...
Are there other women who are... I don't know. I think it is. I think it is the stability. I think, like, it's just easier to be with a stable man. And, like, older men are more stable.
But I, okay, and fine. You can say that. I'm just at the point where I don't, and this might be wrong, I don't believe the girl actually loves the man. That's just where I'm coming from it. Because, no, it doesn't make sense to me that for any reason why a girl in her 20s is mm-hmm. going after a dude and heading into his 50s on the later half of his life.
Yeah.
And you're on the beginning come up of your life.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me other than the fact that you're never going to have to worry. You're never going to have to worry about any sort of central struggle. You're mm-hmm. just going to be coasting from this point out, living off this dude's money. He's going to die in the next medicine's getting better. So, like, for however long, or you're going to divorce him, take half of his shit and be good. So, like, I'm sorry, I'm not buying.
Okay.
And maybe I'm taking this a little bit too far, but, like, yeah. I don't see how this differential life stages marriages
yeah.
happen.
No.
Other than she's going into this marriage, and him too, maybe he just doesn't care,
yeah.
knowing that this shit is not going to work, like, for long term mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll get, I don't know, 5 to 10 years out of it. And then divorce, boom, you take half, we're done, we'll go our separate ways. And then rinse and repeat for him. And then she either remarries or just coast.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. That definitely happens, and that's fine. But the question you asked me was, why do women do it? And I think the reason is stability. So, like, I'm not saying all of that stuff you said is wrong or, like, not true. Like, that is probably a majority of people.
Right.
But yes, that when you said different life stages, like, that's what I'm thinking about. I can understand why that would be hard. Like, if I'm a young, hot thing, 20.
Which you are.
And my husband is 45, like, about to be middle-aged or whatever. Like, I can understand why that would cause problems. Because, like, truly, we are living different lives, you know? Like, I get that.
That's what I'm saying.
But, that's not what the article explained, because you were saying other stuff about, like, finding similar hobbies and stuff. Like,
I know, but I'm just thinking the newlyweds is reading more into the lines of what this
yeah.
differential life stages is. I think what they have here is some politically correct jargon.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm calling it for what it is.
Yeah.
And that's
it's
where,
like,
I'm at.
It's an age gap couple. So, like, a young hot thing with, like, this old man or woman.
Yeah.
Either way. But, yeah, I don't think this old middle-aged man going to paint pottery with his 20-year-old wife is going to save their marriage, you know? Like,
yeah,
people are going to be like, oh, is this your dad? Are you here for Father's Day?
Oh, my,
like,
God. And
no shade. No shade. If you are
No shade.
And we're not talking about 5 years or whatever. We're talking like significant age gap, like different generations, okay?
Yeah.
We're not talking about 5, 8 years. That's no. different.
I'm not even talking a decade, quite honestly.
We're talking about like 20 years 20. Difference. Like you've been on the earth 20 years longer than your partner.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's a good thing to clear up because like I'm not throwing shade at somebody who's in a...
No.
At even 10 years, like I'm really not, that's not even who I'm targeting.
Yeah, but like the significant age gap couples, yes.
I'm talking about the chicks who are just going, you know, in a sorority in college, just going to
yeah
a bar and there's some old guy there that hits on you and then you're just kicking it with them.
Yeah, but no shade, you know, if that's what you want. But like I can understand why that would cause marital issues.
I got another one that's, I could definitely understand.
All right, let's move on.
Infidelity.
Cheating.
Infidelity isn't always about physical cheating. It can also be marked by emotional connections with someone outside the marriage. Cheating can be destructive to any marriage as it is severely disrupts trust in your relationship. While it's true that many couples cannot overcome infidelity, it can be possible. If you want to heal from one person being unfaithful, just know that it's going to take a lot of understanding, work, and forgiveness. Couples must be willing to work hard to fix trust issues in a relationship after infidelity.
Okay. For one, like, if there was ever cheating in our marriage, like, there's really no other answer other than divorce. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not working through it. I'm not doing any of that shit. Like, if you, for some reason, decide to cheat on me, like, however long into the marriage, like, goodbye. There's no coming back from that. There's no overcoming that. Like, if you decided to cheat, like, you decided to end our marriage, and that's that on that.
What about if you have kids?
I don't care. I don't care.
I do understand where you're coming from, but I do think kids does murky the water a little.
No.
It doesn't for you.
No. We don't. I mean,
do you tell your kids?
That's what I was about to say. Because I don't know if it's better to lie to them or tell them. Because, like...
Your dad or mom is no longer a superhero.
Yeah. And, like, even if you do develop a relationship with them later on in life, like, you're just always going to have that on the back of your mind. And I think that really affects the kids growing up, like, to either, like, influence them to become cheaters or, like, think it's okay to do that.
100%.
Or, like, then they're just, like, terrified of relationships and never want to get married because they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's, like, they're going to cheat anyways.
I mean, I truly believe, like, at any stage in a relationship, if you get cheated on.
Oh.
Done. This isn't just marriage-based for me.
That wasn't a question for me either. I was agreeing with that, too. Yeah, like, cheating in any, especially if you're dating, like, why do you need to stay with that person?
Yeah.
Why do you need to stay with that person? But yeah, if you have kids, like, sorry, still no. But also, I probably wouldn't tell them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's why having kids murkies the water. Because I don't think it is as cut and dry for, like...
No, I'm still divorcing you if you're cheating on me, especially if you have kids. But I probably wouldn't tell them that's why.
But how do you get through it then?
You just tell the kids, like, we love you. We're... really happy that we had you and we both love you. It has nothing to do with you. I don't know. Like, you tell them.
I don't know.
Sometimes.
The newlyweds, Elizabeth and I, are probably not in that scenario.
Yeah, we're never going to have to do this.
Elizabeth's family and I are obviously both, you know, Elizabeth's parents and my parents are all, you know, still together. So, like,
yeah, no,
we have no.
Either side, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
So we have no leg to stand on or advice, so that's the tough one for sure.
Yeah, but I get why that's difficult.
Yeah, the tip that's for that is emotional I don't know what.
You don't need a tip. Your tip is get a divorce, okay?
Tip: emotional distance is a precursor to cheating, so try to be honest with your spouse if you feel like the emotional or sexual distance is driving you to thoughts of infidelity. If you're already dealing with the cause of physical or emotional cheating, be as honest and understanding as you can about the situation. Hmm. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen to you guys. Like, especially if you're dating and somebody cheats on you.
That person, like, does not respect you.
Yeah, you need to get out of that. Like, if you can't even do it you don't want to tie your, you don't want to put yourself into somebody who not before you're even married is already doing that type of shit.
Yeah, that's basically just tying an anchor around your foot and jumping into the water.
Yeah, like don't you, and you're better than that. You deserve more than that. Like, don't sell yourself short. There's somebody out there who would literally not think twice about losing you or risking whatever you have with that person for anybody else in this world.
Yeah.
Like, don't settle. There's no need for that.
Yeah.
Moving into number five. A little jealousy here and there is normal, but excessive jealousy can turn a marriage into a dreaded daily battle. Perpetually jealous people tend to be controlling, angry, and overbearing. In many cases, they lack self-esteem and suffer from childhood attachment issues. If you or your spouse is jealous regularly, you might want to seek therapy. Sometimes professional help is very necessary. If you're dealing, and this is the tip that goes along with it, if you're dealing with a consistently jealous partner, address the issue head on and seek professional help since there may be deeper emotional conditions at play.
I think a little bit of
I'm a jealous person.
Yes, but you're not to what they're talking about. They're talking about like extreme jealousy, like
like you can't even talk to a man without
like kind of scary shit.
Yeah. No, I'm not at that level, but I definitely would get more so back in school.
No, I get a little bit of jealousy. I think that's fine. But yeah, like they said, like if you can't even go to the grocery store without your husband or wife or whatever accusing you of cheating and they're like constantly going through your phone, like,
ew,
that's really not good.
But like, I know people like that that are like that now.
Yeah.
How do you think that's healthy?
Yeah.
If you have to go through somebody's phone like on a regular basis.
Yeah. Don't marry that person.
Bro, you got some shit going on that, like, you need to look in the mirror and really think about what you're doing.
Yeah. Like, if you are in that kind of relationship, like, and you are the one doing that, you probably should get help. Or, like, talk to your partner and you need to tell them, like, I need more reassurance or whatever. But, like, if you were having to go through their phone, like, that's probably not the person for you.
Honey,
like,
there's never a chance that I've never gone through your phone, period. You've gone through mine, yeah. But like...
one time.
And I wouldn't even say it was truly going through it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about the people that are like taking the phone secretively.
Like while they're asleep.
Yeah, like while they're asleep, while they're in the shower, like...
yeah.
That's some next level shit that is... you got problems.
Yeah, and like you really should reconsider that relationship if you are feeling the need to do that. Because like, why are you so distrustful of your person?
Yeah.
That's distrustful? Untrusting? I don't know.
I don't know. Just but something that you don't want to be.
Like, if you can't trust your partner, like, that's probably not someone you should be marrying.
Yeah.
The end. That's not a lot.
All right. Number six. Boredom. The monotony of repeating the same activities daily with the same person can become too much for some couples. If your relationship has become too comfortable and unimaginative... change the narrative. Introduce some exciting new activities that can spark the energy and intimacy back into your marriage. I like it. Keep it spicy. Yeah. I mean, Elizabeth and I are only a year in at this point, so like things are still spicy.
Yeah.
But like, I hope if it ever does get boring, sure, let's bring into some crazy shit.
I was just gonna say, book a cruise.
Spice you right up.
If you're feeling bored, just book a week-long cruise.
Get you that drink package.
If you're feeling bored, book a vacation. Surprise your spouse and book a surprise vacation
for them. Facts. That always gets me and Elizabeth riled up.
No, but yes, we're planning a vacation together. But I'm saying, like, if you have the means to do so and you guys can both, like, kind of take off one over, like, plan a surprise vacation for them. Like, I promise you, you'll get the spice you're looking for.
Spice the life. All right, the tip for boredom is communication can help here. If you're feeling bored, share your frustrations with your spouse and devise fun.
No.
Don't communicate it?
No.
You should definitely communicate it. You can still do the vacation like as a
if spicy. You're feeling bored, talking about it is not going to make you feel better. Just be more spontaneous.
Anyways, let me finish this.
Be more spontaneous.
Communication can help here. If you're feeling bored, share your frustrations with your spouse, or Elizabeth says not to, and devise fun, creative ways to bring some fun back into a relationship. Take up a hobby together, start working out, or plan regular date nights to reinvigorate things. I like the cruise idea better.
Yeah, plan a vacation, you know, go buy that dog, whatever. Just surprise them. Do something crazy.
Crazy. Love
it. Cut bangs.
Love it, love it, love it, love it.
Cut bangs on your hair. Bleach your eyebrows. I don't know. Do something crazy.
All right. There you have it. Number 7, disrespecting boundaries. Married couples must remain distinct individuals who appreciate and support each other's talents and abilities. Nobody wants to be controlled or likes to be told what to do, how to dress, or where to spend their money. Marriage is a bond between two people. It is true. Marriage is a bond between two people who want to make life better for each other. If you overstep your partner's boundaries, it can erode the trust that the union is based on. Offer one another the space and freedom to express yourselves individually without judgment. I like that.
I agree with that.
Tip, if you feel like you're losing yourself in marriage, that's a red flag. Find ways to carve out your own time and space to be you, and be sure to communicate healthy relationship boundaries clearly with your partner.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that, like, you are your own person. Even though you're married and, like, now you guys are
basically are always together,
a family and all that stuff, you still need to have your own stuff. So, like, get your own hobbies, do your own things. Like, take a couple hours of the week for yourself.
I mean, shoot.
Hang out with your friends, whatever.
Yeah.
Hang out with your friends, join a workout class, get a hobby, like join a pottery class, join a run club, join a social club with some girls, like whatever. Do your own thing. Or for the boys, have your couple hours a week for the game. Like, whatever. You just need time to do things for yourself. Like, you don't need to do
everything. Decompress.
You don't need to do everything with your partner.
Yep. Number 8, stress.
Yeah.
Stress is common in adult life. Stress from relationships, professional responsibilities, parenting, and financial worries can all interfere with how you connect with your partner. It can drastically change your relationship, and typically for the worse. Ooh. Learning to manage stress is in a healthy and productive way can help you learn to navigate the stressful times you'll inevitably. Thank you. Face during your marriage. Tip for this, stress management is something you can apply to all areas of your life, not just marriage. Finding ways to decompress and not let stress get the best of you will greatly improve your marriage. Journaling, working out, doing yoga, being creative, reading, and getting outdoors for a walk can all be effective ways to manage stress. Finding things that you can do with your partner is an additional bonus. True. Stress. How do you deal with stress? You think you handle it well or no?
Yeah.
Really?
You don't think I do?
I thought you would have at least had to think on it a little.
No, I think I'm pretty good at it.
I don't think you are.
Why?
I think a lot of it just boils over. I don't think you're bad.
Maybe.
Because, like, when you come home from...
I really haven't done that since I switched my job. Like, I complain about my job, but I don't feel like I ever, like, come home like how I used to.
It's not about the complaining.
Okay, how do you manage stress?
Well, I can leave it at the door.
Oh.
As soon as I walk out, as soon as I walk out of that office building, I'm off the clock. Just me and my boys.
You're such a liar.
What you mean?
You're a liar.
Uh-uh. This is what I'm telling. I am chill.
No, you're not. Brian says that, but he's not. He's the biggest liar there ever was. He used to say, like, I don't get angry. I'm so relaxed. I'm so chill. No.
And then I met you.
He's not.
That's
he
cap.
He is not relaxed. He is not chill. None of it. But I read something the other day that said, like, men and women deal with stress differently. So, like, women typically want to, like, talk about it, like, talk through the problem, all that stuff. And that, like, makes it, like, alleviates their stress, like, makes their heart rate go down, all that stuff. For men, talking about a stressful thing makes their heart rate go up and actually makes them more stressed.
I believe that. That's so why, like, I don't want to tell you anything.
Yeah. So, like, men want to, like, shut down.
Because we just figure it out ourselves. We'll just work through it.
Yes. That's what it said. It said, like, men like to, like, work through it themselves and, like, not, like, tell anyone about it. Just, like, deal with it themselves. Whereas, like, women, like, want to talk about it, talk through it.
Yeah, but then, like, you want to talk through it and you'll hear some, like,
yeah,
logical thinking.
No. See, that's
and then it's like we're against you.
No. That's where you're not understanding. Is because
I'm guilty of this when you're talking to me.
You are. Listen. Listen up, men. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Pay attention.
Okay? PSA.
When your woman comes to you and is complaining about something, bitching about her friends, complaining about her day, whatever, any of that shit, if she comes to you, she does not want your opinion. She does not want you to solve the problem. She wants you to just listen and say, dang, baby, that sucks. Dang, Sally's such a bad friend. All this stuff. She wants you to agree with her and just let her vent. She doesn't want you to solve her problem, okay?
Even if solving her problems make you stress anymore.
Don't give her logical answers. Don't give her any of that shit. She's not asking for that. She wants you to listen. That's all. She just wants someone to hear her. So you trying to tell her how to solve the problem and giving her logical advice is only going to make her more mad and more pissed at you, okay? And if you don't know if she wants your advice or not, you can ask her. Next time she comes to vent to you, do you want me to solve the problem or do you want me to listen, okay? 10 out of 10 times, she's going to say, listen. So just listen and don't tell her how to fix shit. Just listen and be there for her. That's all she wants, okay?
Wow.
Remember that.
That was some...
Remember that. You will have a much happier relationship, marriage, whatever, any of that stuff, if you stop doing that.
Pent up aggression there, clearly. Yeah.
But anyways, my point was, women like to talk about it. So then, like, when your man is going through something, like, you ask him if he wants to talk about it and all that stuff because that's what you would want to do. But he does not. And he does not solve his stress that way. He does not de-stress that way.
It's not because I don't love you.
It's just because they are different. They want to solve it themselves. And, like, talking about it really makes them more stressed. And that was from study. That's not just like made up shit me and Brian just made up. Like, that's real stuff.
I love that, babe. That was awesome. Number 9, differing values. Major disagreements about religion, politics, child rearing, and the basic definition of right and wrong can cause serious disruptions to a marital union.
Before you get into this, if you guys have differing values like that,
don't get married.
Why did you marry this person?
All right, thank you. I'm not reading anymore.
Yeah, like, we don't need to talk about that because, like, you should not be marrying someone if you have that different values.
On everything.
Yeah.
For religion, politics, and how you want to raise your children.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster.
I mean, I'm assuming they're talking about maybe you have, like, one thing's different. But still, like, if you guys feel that differently, like, that...
I know.
How did you even start dating?
In my opinion, just again, this is my opinion. If I'm off on any one of those three, like that's just not it for me.
I agree.
I'm regardless, just again, one out of religion, politics, and how I'm going to raise my children, I'm good.
Yeah, I agree.
That's no shade towards you or me, but that is
shade towards you. Why are you marrying that person if you feel so different?
No. I'm just saying, like, at that point, though, like, those are three things that are not up for discussion.
I agree.
So, yeah, I'm not going to get any more on differing values.
We're not going to give you a tip either. Our tip is don't get married to that person
if you have different values like that. Yeah.
Because that's core values. Like, that's not facts. Shit you can love change. That.
Core values.
Okay, next.
Number 10. Oh, yeah, here's your second one that you guessed. Money problems. There's a saying that money doesn't solve money problems, even for couples who have enough of it. Money arguments seem to be inevitable from time to time in any relationship. Your partner may want to spend money when you want to save it. You may have different ideas about how to invest. Like most things in a marriage, communication is the key to victory here. Make it a point to routinely sit down and discuss finances, future goals, and other relevant factors that determine how you spend your money as a married couple. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say we've had money problems. I think we've came a long way in money problems.
I mean, we didn't. Yeah, like
we definitely, when we first got married, we're like not seeing eye to eye on how we were doing that.
Yeah.
Now we talk about things. We do sit down and talk about our finances, even future goals we've came up on. Like, we've been talking about future things that we want to save towards and do.
Yep.
So, like, yeah, we've came a really long way for this. We were not the best at this. This is something that definitely has developed over time for Elizabeth and I.
Yeah. You just got to talk about it.
Yep. And it has helped because there was a time when we weren't talking about it. And, like, I wouldn't say it was never bad because we were just so brand new to the marriage and everything. So I guess we were still in, like, a honeymoon phase, if you will, but there was definitely some like, yo, I don't like this, you don't like that, yada yada. And anyways, but let's get into the tip for what they say. Try a monthly finance date with your partner. Sit down and review the month's date, month's spending, and discuss how the money will be spent in the future. Finances are something that needs to be tended to regularly. Make this habit one that you share with your spouse so you both feel like financial decisions are made together.
And that's what we did. We sat down one time and made a budget and like went through all of our expenses, every bill that we have, and we were able to cut out like $200 worth of monthly bills because like, yeah, we just talked about it. So like make a budget.
Yep. All right. Number 11, trauma or grief. Experiencing traumatic events or situations can take a toll on any relationship or marriage because they can be life-changing. Trauma and grief can challenge even the healthiest and strongest relationships. So is this talking like prior traumatic events or in the relationship traumatic and grief events? I'm assuming both maybe.
I'm not sure what the trauma is relating to. I was more thinking on the grief, but I was thinking like parents, like losing a parent.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Again, Elizabeth and I are not there in our stages.
Yeah.
But I can say for, I guess, any kind of like loss in the family, it's hard. But like you just have to, I guess, be there for your spouse and like however they want to, like however they handle it, however that person handles it, like just be there for them. Like you got to show up for your spouse, especially in that situation.
Yeah.
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 That's it.
Yeah, that's all I
got. Just be there for your person.
Yeah.
And last one, number 12, social media. We live in an interesting time where reconnecting with people from our past is as simple as logging onto social media platform and typing in their name. If your social media usage interferes with your relationship, it might be time to stop and reassess what's important to you. Not only can social media potentially encourage unhealthy relationships, but it can also be a distraction that prevents you from spending quality time together. Thoughts?
That first sentence is weird.
Why?
Like, it's easy to reconnect with your past.
I know. I thought it was leading into like reconnecting with like
an ex-boyfriend. Exes. Yeah. Yeah.
But then it just went to like interfering with your relationship as like time consumption.
I mean, yeah, social media can be like,
honestly, I just think social media, hot take.
Yeah.
Social media needs to altogether go.
I don't agree with that.
I just don't know what positive is it. Like, what do you get from it? What positive do you get from social media?
I mean, I learn a lot of stuff on, like, TikTok specifically. Like, I've learned how to make a lot of new, like, recipes from there.
You don't need social media for that.
But I prefer, like, I've never once opened a cookbook and, like, made a recipe for that. Like, I prefer seeing someone else, like, make
it. So why do you ask for them?
Ask for what?
Cookbooks.
I didn't.
They're on our registry.
One.
You've gotten them for Christmas.
I've gotten one for Christmas. No, I got one from our wedding registry.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate. No. You're saying,
I'm explaining to you what I'm, can I explain first
before I know, you cut me off? But I'm seeing it in your eyes.
No. I put one on our registry because it's cute and it would be a cute decoration for our kitchen, which it is. And maybe one day I'll use it, but probably not. But I don't think social media is all bad. Do I think there's stuff on there that people don't need to see? And do I think it's addicting? Yes. But, like, I feel like, at least for me, maybe not currently, but, like, social media to me is how video games were to you at one point.
I don't even play video games anymore.
I know. I just said not anymore. But, like,
but you haven't, you've not changed off of social media. You've been on social media from the day that I've met you. You've been
more
wrapped around in social media.
I wouldn't say I got like,
At first it was Twitter.
Yes, I did.
You were obsessed with
Twitter. But only reading it at night. And again, like, I feel like I'm only more obsessed now with TikTok. And like, I don't feel like I'm on it all the time. Like, I literally watch it in the bath and then right before we go to bed. And that's it.
I guess different stages of your life, but
I don't think it's all bad. And like,
It's not all bad. I just don't know what it does, like, positive. What does it do?
A lot of things.
You said recipes, honey.
Cooking recipes. Like, some girls use it for, like, fashion inspiration. Some girls use it for, like, workouts.
But
like,
again, you don't need that.
You don't need any of this shit. You don't need any of it. We don't need any of it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about a lot of things. We don't need video games. We don't need sports. We don't need TV. We don't need any of that.
But I don't think you can put video games in the same...
It's entertainment.
No, because you're not going to agree with it, probably.
Yeah.
But like, with shit, I would say most of our listeners probably are not going to maybe see what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
But in video games...
Yeah.
There is some strategy or strategic thinking that you
are learning something.
You're not learning. You're just, how do you beat X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
On social media, and I'm just going to reference, what's it called? TikTok.
Yeah.
Depending on, I guess, if you're on Chinese Twitter, TikTok, fine. It's all educational, which I get. That's fine. But why here we have all this, like, just mindless stuff.
Okay.
Just let me finish. Hold on real quick. And then I'm sure you've seen like the studies about like our attention spans and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's where I'm coming from as far as like I don't see what is actually positive of it.
Okay, my rebuttal. There is strategy to social media too. If you are a content creator, you're using strategy. How can I...
But you're not a content creator.
How can I make this video go viral?
We are making these...
How can I make more people see my video? How can I get more followers? There's strategy in that too.
That's a business though.
Yes.
That's not what you are. You're the consumer.
I'm running our
stuff. Not newlyweds.
And
not,
I'm running Rubies.
Honey, you're taking this the wrong... I'm not even necessarily directly talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the people that are literally just on it to pass time.
And maybe they are.
But what is that good for them?
Why do you care?
Because at the end of the day, like, I would still want the best for everybody.
No, I think there is a problem now with people being too concerned about what other people are doing. If it's not affecting you in any way, why do you care? But
because I still want the best for humanity.
Okay, maybe that's the best for them. Maybe humanity. That's what they want. My point is this topic was supposed to be social media is interfering with your relationship.
Yes, 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 yes.
Which it's not interfering with ours. Do you agree?
I don't think it is, no.
Yeah. So, like, if it is, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you need to do about that. But, like, for us personally, it's not.
Yeah. Well, that's the 12 things that are most commonly found in marriages. Did you think they were helpful or not that great? 12 common problems that married couples deal with. That's what we just went through.
Social media is a problem?
I would imagine. I could definitely see that.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't see how you couldn't see that. Like, it's not a problem for us because, like you said, like, you're doing it at times.
Yeah.
When it's just, you're already, you know, in the bath.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm in there, fine. You're probably not on it. But.
Pretty crazy. Anyways, that's all on that. I thought they were helpful.
Yeah.
Thought we gave good input.
Yeah. It was a good conversation. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Let's go into advice.
And I liked that Brian was leading the episode this time.
Probably better.
He did good. Let us know.
Let
us know whose episodes
this isn't
you like
first
better.
Time that, this isn't the first time that I've led.
Okay. I think you're great too. Why don't you run them every time?
Thanks, baby.
Okay. Anyways, we have two advice for this show. So we will get started. First one. I'm getting married and I'm wondering, do I have to invite all significant others? My fiance wants to invite his best friend and his girlfriend. His girlfriend is a hairstylist, and I was thinking of asking her to do my hair for the wedding. I'm fine with her attending. My mom made it a point that I have to invite other people's significant others too, like my cousins' boyfriends and girlfriends. I don't know how to determine which significant others I have to invite. Like, does it have to be everyone, or can I get away with not inviting all these people?
All right. So, for one, I don't think in anybody's wedding, for the most part, unless this person was like obviously toxic or heavily involved in your relationship at some point, but like I don't think on the male's or female side that you should be able to say, like, you don't want X person to come on their side if they're saying that they want to invite that person. So, like, if I were, I shouldn't be allowed to tell you that you weren't, wouldn't be allowed to invite.
What?
You're talking about.
She said, my fiance wants to invite his best friend and his girlfriend. She's fine with that.
The fiance's already coming. The best friend of the fiance's already coming. He wants to bring her girlfriend, his girlfriend. The best friend.
This is you. You.
I am following. You are not following what I'm saying.
Because it's the mom. The mom said that she needs to invite everyone else, not the fiance.
I'm aware. I'm just making it clear that I don't care whose mom it is, who it is. If it's my wedding, I'm having who I want at the wedding on my side. Period. You're not going to tell me. Your mother's not going to tell me. I'm going to have who I want at my wedding.
I think you're confused.
I'm not confused. You're getting me pissed off. I'm not confused. I know what the hell the question is.
I don't think you do.
Yes, I do. You, your friend, the wife, the bride, needs to get over it.
The wife said yes.
The mother is the one who's questioning.
The wife said, I'm fine with the girlfriend attending. My mom told me I need to invite, everyone needs to get a plus one.
Again, I'm following.
No, you're not. You're confused.
Why do mothers think that they have so much input?
Right. I agree. Yeah. Okay, can I get my advice now?
I'm all fired up.
Yeah, because you don't understand the question.
I wish you guys could see me. Like, I feel like there's cartoon characters that had steam busting out their ears.
Yeah, because you don't understand the question. The question is, do I need to give everyone a plus one?
Maybe you're a bad reader.
No, I'm not. You just are a bad listener.
Ooh, lack of communication skills.
Anyways, my thought on this, and there's like a saying, no ring, no bring. Okay?
I've not heard that, but I like that.
So when it comes to weddings, like my opinion is, and I know there's other rules for this, but my opinion is if you have a spouse, like you are married to that person, obviously they're going to get a plus one to the wedding because like you're married to them. If you have a long-term relationship where the couple knows your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you're going to get a plus one. If you just started dating this random ass person, why am I going to give you a plus one? I don't know them. You don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Why am I going to give you a plus one to bring some random person that I don't know and you don't know to the wedding?
It didn't work out for us.
And, well, first of all, that plus one was not given.
She just came. Party crasher.
Yes, there was a lot
wedding
of that.
Crasher.
But another thing, if you are in the family and you have boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, and the couple does not know them, I'm not giving you a plus one. This is your family's wedding. You are going to know everyone there. What do you need a date for? So you can be grinding on somebody in front of grandma?
Oh my God.
So you can be making out in the bathroom? Like, no. So we can have tea to talk about at the family holidays? Like, oh, cousin whatever was being crazy at my wedding? No. You don't need a, if you're in the family, you don't need a plus one because this is your family's wedding. You know everyone there. You don't need a plus one, especially if we don't know them. That's my thoughts.
I'm pretty sure this is what I was saying.
No, I don't know what you were saying. You were confused by the question. Do you want to redo your advice?
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, so like, no. And you don't need to give anyone a plus one because someone else told you that's what you need to do. No, it's your wedding. If you don't know them, you don't like them, you don't want them to come, you don't need to give them a plus one.
So what do you consider, though, plus one status? Like, how long a relationship?
Long term.
What's long term?
Year or two.
What if you're living together and it's only been 3 months?
If the
living together only been 3 months of the living together for 3 months. Dating for
six.
Sure.
Okay. If us as the couple, if we know you and we know.
You know one person for a long time.
If that's your best friend since kindergarten or whatever.
Okay.
And I know their boyfriend, that's fine. But I think it's more about like, do we as a couple know this person? Mm-hmm. Do we know them? If we don't know them, then like, why am I inviting you?
Yeah. Okay. There you have it.
You don't need to invite, you don't need to give everyone a plus one. Okay?
Shit's too expensive for that anyways.
Yeah, and why do I need all these random people? Why do I need to have 50 people that I actually want, and then somehow I have a 100-person wedding because everyone needs a plus one, and I don't know any of these
people? Yeah, like, imagine seeing your pictures at the end of it all, and, like, you literally don't know half the people there.
Yeah, why? No.
No.
Don't invite them. Goodbye. Next. Okay. I'm having a destination wedding in my fiancé's home country because his family is paying for the wedding.
Damn.
My parents have told me that they will not be attending due to the cost and long flight.
Yep, makes sense.
That's sad. I told them I understand and I am okay with that. I told my mom that I would be having my father-in-law walk me down the aisle since my dad can't be there. And she said I can't do that because since my dad is still alive, that's disrespectful. I tried explaining to her that I'll feel anxious walking down the aisle without that feeling of support and I'll be all alone. My mom told me that I need to get over it and that I can't do that to my dad. I just thought besides being anxious, it will be something so nice and respectful towards my father-in-law. What do I do?
Well, for one, it's sad that you're going to have a wedding and your parents can't be there. So, like, for one, I wouldn't even have the wedding if my literal parents could not be there.
I was going to say the same thing.
So that's one. That. Yeah, I would reconsider what you're doing. I would definitely, and I get where you're coming from as far as, you know, not having your support system there to walk you down the aisle. I get that. However, I'm not going to have anybody but, like, my actual father, mother, whoever, walk me down the aisle. No disrespect for the father-in-law that you're going to have. That's just, like, it's not his place.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. But the overall is what I would reconsider is just doing a destination wedding, period, if your family couldn't be there, because that's something that, yeah, you might not think it's a big deal now or it's not going to hit that hard, but, like, you're going to literally not have your parents there for probably one of, if not the biggest day of your life.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a sad thing that you're going to have to revisit every single anniversary, whatever it might be. Just a sad thought that you're always going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this whole fad is or with these destination weddings. I mean, I just personally, I don't see what the thing is that's enticing about it. But if it's causing you to have this wedding and you can't have the people that have been in your quarter every step of the way of your life, then I don't know personally what you, like, you need to reconsider what's actually important and what's actually going on in this marriage, not about where this marriage is taking place. Because you're looking at it from the wrong lens of what's important, and it's something that you're going to look back on and be like, wow, I really messed this up just to be, you know, a status or, I don't know, just to, I don't know. Does that make any sense? I don't even know if it makes sense, but
yeah.
I would just not want to do that. I would not want to make that. I would not want to do a wedding that's a destination wedding if I can't have the people that I actually care about be present.
I agree. I was going to say that too. Like, the whole point of a marriage is you're joining two families.
Yep.
So, like, how are you going to say you're joining your families when, like, your family's not even there?
That's sad. That's literally sad. Like, a marriage,
your family's not even there. Yeah. Like, how are you, the whole institution of marriage, we are joining families, and somehow you're in this country, you don't know anybody, it's your husband's whole family, and your family's not there?
Yeah, that's insane. And it's not like, yes, I understand you're marrying this person, like, you might know his parents really well.
That's not the point.
You don't know anybody else.
Where is your family?
Yeah, that's jacked up.
So, like, if your family can't afford to come, like, why are you having this wedding out there?
Yeah.
Like, you need to be reconsidering.
You've lost touch with what's actually important.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't think it's anything more than that.
Yeah, like, if you're going to have a wedding, if you guys are close to your family, obviously, like,
and I'm assuming you are.
I'm assuming you are. We're not assuming, like, you come from a broken family and, like, you don't have anyone that wants to show up for you. Mm-hmm. This is assuming, like, you guys both come from families that, like, want to be there to support you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's the case and you want to have this wedding, you should have those people in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
Not just be going to have a destination wedding where, like, no one can attend for you. If that's the case, just elope. Like, you don't need to have a big thing. But, like, imagine how hurtful that is for your parents, too.
Oh, they want to be there. There's no way in hell. Even if they completely disagree with what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to want to miss
Yeah.
Their son or daughter's wedding.
Yeah. So my advice is reconsider and like have your wedding somewhere where both of your families can come or elope where it's just you two.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, that's what we would do.
Yeah. Sorry if that's not the advice you were looking for, but we're going to be real with you. Like,
keep it a buck with you.
Get it together. Touch grass. That's what you say to people when they like need to like be brought back down to reality. Anyways, that's our advice. If you want to be on it next week,
write in. You know where to find us, and you can tell we're going to keep it honest with you.
Yeah, write in. We'll give you our honest advice.
Yeah. But as always, find us on our social medias, guys. We are on TikTok, Instagram. Anything else? We need to get on X. I feel like X is popping again.
I feel like you will get us canceled putting us on X.
Anyways, you can find us on all of our podcast streaming networks, platforms nowadays, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Wherever.
You name it, we're there.
Hopefully.
But as always, guys, thank you so much for continuing to listen to whatever Elizabeth and I have to say every single week. We wouldn't be doing this without y'all. We do this for you. Again, as always, appreciate the positive feedback that you guys give us weekly. Keep writing in for advice. We do love to give it, even though, again, it might not be what you want to hear. But we're just going to keep it a buck with you. That's what we are going through, our experiences and what we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, you know, proof in the pudding. We've been through it for a lot of the stuff that we do talk about. Sure, we have a lot more that we're going to learn as we continue to go through our marriage with you guys. But yeah, we are. Well, I'm Brian Sorrell, your co-host with my beautiful wife,
Elizabeth Sorrell.
And we are
the Newlyweds. That's a good episode. Nice work.